ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdrawal of Cosmic Creations, Chapter 7, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe, Verse Number 29. Mukhani Panchopani Sadastavesha Yes श्रीमशद अस्तोत्तर मंत्र वर्ग यत्तत् शिवाख्यं परमात्मा तत्त्वं देव स्वयं ज्योतिर अवस्थितिस्ते मुखानि पञ्चोपनिषदस्तवेश यस्त्रीमशद् अस्तोत्तरमन्त्रवर्ग। यत्तच्चिवाख्यं परमात्मा तत्त्वम् देव स्वयं ज्योतिर अवस्थितिस्ते मुखानि पञ्चोपनिषदस्तवेश यस्त्रिमिषद् अस्तोत्तर मंत्र वर्ग यत्तत् शिवाकं परमात्मा तत्त्वम् देव स्वयं ज्योतिर अवस्थितिस्ते। मुखानि पञ्चोपनिषदस्तवेश यस्त्रिंशदन्तरमन्त्र तत्स्वाकं परमात्मा तत्त्वम् वह्नि ज्योतिरवस्थितिस्ते। Mukhani, faces, pancha, five, Upanishadha, Vedic literatures, tava, your, isha, O Lord, ye, by which, trimshad asta uttara mantara varga, in the category of 38 important Vedic mantras. Yat, that, tat, as it is, Shiva Akhyam, celebrated by the name Shiva. Paramatma Tattvam, which ascertain the truth about Paramatma. Deva, O Lord. Swayam Jyoti, self-illuminated. Avastibhi, situation. Te, of your Lordship. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five paces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lordship, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as a supreme truth known as Paramatma. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The five mantras mentioned in this connection are as follows. First, Purusha. Second, Agora. Third, Sadyojata. Fourth, Vamdev. And fifth, Ishan. These five mantras are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiv or Mahadev. Another reason why Lord Shiva is called Shiv, which means all auspicious, is that he is self-illuminated, exactly like Lord Vishnu, who is the Paramatma. Because Lord Shiva is directly an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is situated as Lord Vishnu's direct representative. This fact is corroborated by a Vedic mantra, Patim Vishayat Maishwaram Shashvatam Shivam Achyutam. The super soul is called by many names, of which Maheshwar, Shiv and Achyut are especially mentioned. Om Agyantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Verse Number 27, 28, 29. 27 and 28 don't have purport, so we read 29. I will read the translation of all three. O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body, and the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lordship, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as a supreme truth, known as Paramatma. Hare Krishna. So this section, churning the milk ocean, the demigods and the demons, they have finally started churning. But as usual in material world, what they expected didn't happen. And what was unexpected, that happened. They wanted nectar to come out. And poison, completely opposite to nectar, came out. So everybody was afraid. The poison was very concentrated, very dangerous. And it was slowly, gradually spreading everywhere, giving trouble to all the living entities, including the demigods and the demons. It was to destroy the whole world. So they approached Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is anyway destroyer of the whole world. So poison is destroying. This seems to be opposite. One who anyway destroys the whole world, you are approaching him to protect the whole world. But they approach to Lord Shiva because he is a destroyer, so he can destroy poison also. And they offered very nice prayers. Even Lord Vishnu was part of the group who approached Lord Shiva to destroy the poison. And since few days, we are undergoing a confusion. Lord Vishnu is equal to Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is not equal to Lord Shiva. Right? These discussions are going on and being clarified again and again. Somewhere we read in Bhagavatam, they both are different. And here we read, they both are same. In fact, the prayers which are being offered to Lord Shiva, if somebody only picks up these prayers without the names and the context, everybody will say this is prayers to Lord Vishnu. We read just now his whole Virat Roop. So the reason this confusion is there is not because of Srimad Bhagavatam. The reason this confusion is there is because of us. Our thinking, our thought process, the way we think, the way we gather information, the way we assimilate information, is not suitable to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. In our education, school, college, university, science, commerce, arts, history, geography, whatever subjects we are taught, there is a basic pattern. That pattern is called logic, common sense logic. There's a basic pattern on which all subjects are dependent. There are two most important arts we learn in school. One is to read, another is to write. But whole life, we don't read so much, we don't write so much, as compared to we think. How many hours a day we read or write? Less as compared to how many hours a day we think? It's much more. Right? So in school, more time is spent in reading and writing and not learning how to think. But in life, less time is spent in reading and writing, and more time is spent in how and what, whatever, more time is spent to think. So our thinking is faulty. Our thinking is based on logic. And logic says, if a statement A is true, then the statement minus A is not true. If A is equal to B is a true statement, then A not equal to B cannot be a true statement. Right? That's logic. If somebody comes and says A is equal to B is a true statement, A not equal to B is also a true statement, we can't accept this. It will become a contradiction inside us. And we have to resolve this contradiction to take further steps in our life. We can't stay with contradictions. Contradiction means it needs to be resolved. Contradiction means it can't be accepted. Contradiction means something gadbad. It needs to be given attention. Either this is true or this is true. Either A is equal to B is true or A is not equal to B is true. These both cannot be true simultaneously. Why they cannot be true simultaneously? Because it is contradictory. It is contradictory to the logic we have, that if a statement is true, its opposite cannot be true. Right? But this is faulty thinking. Contradictions do exist in this world. Contradictions do exist in nature. Contradictions do exist in spiritual world. Contradictions do exist in Krishna. No, many contradictions exist in Krishna. Too many contradictions. He is a contradictory personality. Dhir Lalit, Dhir Prashant, there are four personality traits. All are in Krishna. He is a good brahmachari. That's true. Bhishma Pitama says he is a good brahmachari, better than me. And we all know famous Ras Leela and stealing garments of gopis. So many contradictions exist in Krishna. He says, I am far. He says, I am near. He says, I walk. I don't walk. In Ishopanishad. So many contradictions. So if we are not comfortable with contradictions, then our thinking is not yet developed to understand Bhagavatam. We need to be comfortable with contradictions. That doesn't mean we become a fool. There are certain contradictions we need to be comfortable with. And one such contradiction is, Vishnu is equal to Shiva. It is a true statement. Vishnu is unequal to Shiva. It is a true statement. These both are true. If we think one of them is true and other has to be false, why other has to be false? Because the first one is true. Both cannot be true. If both are true, it's a contradiction, and Bhagavatam cannot be contradiction. It has to be according to my logic. Then we will never understand this tattvas. Jiva and Ishvara are equal or unequal? Equal. Equal. But equal, na? That's Mayavad. Both are true. If I say they are equal and unequal is untrue, then that is incomplete. That's not Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. If I say others are unequal and equal is untrue, that's also not Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Krishna is what? Person or impersonal? Both. If you say he is person and he is not impersonal, that's not Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Both are true simultaneously. That's Achintya, Veda Ved. So Krishna is person. That's not Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Krishna is impersonal. Absolute truth is, that's not Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Our philosophy is Krishna is person and impersonal. Both. That's final philosophy. Absolute truth is both. Person and impersonal. Everything is Krishna. Why we are just discussing about Shiva? Indra is Krishna, Surya is Krishna, Agni is Krishna, Vayu is Krishna, Brahma is Krishna, Ashwini Kumar is Krishna, you are Krishna, I am Krishna. This pillar is Krishna, this tree is Krishna, this bulb is Krishna, this marble is Krishna, that dustbin is Krishna, that road is Krishna, that building is Krishna. Sounds good? No? But that's our philosophy. Everything is Krishna. Then when we go deeper, there is Bheda. There is Abheda. Everything is Krishna. We go deeper, there is Bheda. I am doing a demonstration to explain this. Very costly lecture today. So what I have is gold. Gold, huh? Three gold items. What is this? Ring, gold ring. What is this? Gold bangle. What is this? Gold necklace. So if I ask somebody, what is this? You say gold ring, gold bangle, gold necklace. Right? Somebody may say, gold, gold, gold. Is this right answer? Both the answers are right. Just because this can go in finger, I say gold ring. This can go in bangle, hand, wrist, I say gold bangle. This can go in my neck, I say gold necklace. If I have an object which doesn't go in any part of my body made of gold, I will not give it a special name. I'll just call it gold. But because this particular have function in my body part, I may give a different name. Ring. Why this is not gold ring? If my finger was this big, I'll call it gold ring. If my neck was this much, I'll call it gold necklace. Right? So just because this object gold has a particular shape and a function for my body, I have given a different name to it. You're with me? Is that name required? No. Just because it has a function. If it was something of a triangle or trapezium or something like that, I just call it gold. So what is this three? Gold ring, gold bangle, gold necklace, or gold, gold, gold. Both is true. So when I say Indra, Varun, Vayu, Agni, that's gold ring, gold bangle, gold necklace. When I say Krishna, 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 that's Krishna. There's no difference. Because we have identified through function and shape, so we have names of ornaments. But the tattva is, this is all gold. There's nothing else other than gold. In the same way, everything is Krishna. Then further we do Bheda based on duty. Indra, rain department, Vayu, wind department, Varun, water department, Agni, fire department, Surya, heat and light energy department, Yamaraj, death department, Brahma, creation, Shiva, destruction. Who are all this? Krishna only. So that's Abheda. And that's completely true. Everything is gold. When we further go ahead, we make ring, bangle, necklace, just for our discussion, just in our language. Because we have created these varieties for our body. Otherwise, there is no variety required. So everything is Krishna, that's correct. At the same time, as we go deeper, we find there is Bheda. There is Krishna, Vishnu, Tattva, and there is Jiva Tattva. We go more further, we see there is Jiva, there is Prakriti, there is Ishwar. We go more deeper, we see Prakriti, Prakriti also Bheda, Jiv, Jiv also Bheda, Vishnu also has among themselves Bheda. Then there is Shakti Tattva, Guru Tattva,
There is Veda there also. So there is Shiva Tattva. As we go deeper, we understand there is one Veda there also. Lord Shiva, who is not a Jeev, but who is not Vishnu. He is a transformation of Vishnu. Functionally, there is a difference. Vishnu Tattva does not come in contact with Maya, Prakriti. And when he comes in contact, he is called Shiva. But then we see lots of activities different. We have a classic example of Vrikasur. Vrikasur, Asur, he wanted some power. So he met Narad Muni. Who else, you know? And he asked Narad Muni, I want some fast food. I want some fast power. Whom should I worship? I don't have much time. So Narad Muni knew, he can't attend Mangalati and chant Hare Krishna. He will leave. He said, you worship Shiva. Ashitosh, fast. 7 days program, finish. So he did Yajna. He started worshipping Shiva. And with what he worships, he start cutting his finger. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then legs. Legs ka finger, then hand. 6 days he started doing this. He said, this is too much, he is not coming, I will cut myself. He went to bath to cut his head and put it in fire. And then Lord Shiva appeared. Anybody who commits suicide, he will appear, you know. It's not a big deal, that's not bhakti. Anybody on the road is trying to commit suicide, a stranger, you will continue to chant your rounds? No, you will protect him. Or at least attempt. So this is not bhakti cutting your head. This is somebody committing suicide, so Lord Shiva appeared. So Lord Shiva appeared. And he stopped him. He cured his body. He said, wait, why are you cutting your head? I am pleased with Ganges water also. This head business not required. What do you want? And Vrikasur said, I want a power that if I touch anybody's head, that person should die immediately. His head should explode. That's too dangerous. But since Lord Shiva already said, I will give you a benediction, Lord Shiva said, okay, fine, tatastu, go ahead. And Vrikasura, he became very arrogant. Lord Shiva had come with Parvati Mata, and he saw such a beautiful lady, and he thought, if I kill Lord Shiva, I will have this lady. You know, Lord Shiva should have gone alone, you know, he went to Parvati. So immediately Vrikasura tried to touch Lord Shiva's head. And Lord Shiva got fearful. He said, my own benediction, how will I violate? So he ran away from there. Vrikasura started running behind Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva went to Brahma, Indra, Chandra, Agni. But they all said, we can't help you, this is your benediction. We can't go against your benediction. So finally, Lord Shiva went to Narayana in Shvetadvip. Shvetadvip is part of Vaikuntha in the material universe. So Lord Narayana told Lord Shiva, you sit here, have Mahaprasad, I will take care. And Lord Vishnu came out as a brahmachari. Nice tilak, kanti mala, shikha, deer skin and rod. And he met Vrikasura. Vrikasura was running there and searching for Lord Shiva. So this brahmachari, he told Vrikasura, you are son of Shakuni, right? This is another Shakuni. Yes. When Vrikasura knows somebody knows me and my father, he got little attracted. He said, yes, yes. You know? He said, yes, yes, I know your father and I know you. Your father was a first class man. You are also first class man. Very nice person, I have heard about you. And why are you running so much? You are breathing so heavily. Please have a seat. You don't know, this body is very valuable. Without this body and good health, you can't do sense enjoyment. You should not waste like this. You please sit. So he thought, some great well-wisher of mine has been speaking to me. So he sat. The Vrikasura said, if you don't mind, can you tell me what are you doing here? Maybe I'll be able to help you. Vikasa said, yes. You know, I worship Lord Shiva. He gave me a benediction that if I touch anybody's head, he will die. So I wanted to touch Lord Shiva's head, and that fellow ran away, and I came behind him, but somewhere he is hiding, I don't know. That brahmachari said, who Lord Shiva? That Kailashwala. He said, yes, yes, same Lord Shiva. He said, oh, you don't know? He said, what? He said, nowadays his market is down, his benedictions are not working. Since Sati Mata committed suicide, he become crazy. His benediction, his curse don't work. You know what you do? You see, experiment and touch your head. See, it will not work. Then we will both find Lord Shiva and you kill him. Why he is giving such false benedictions? False products are not good in the market, cheater. Because Sudha said, yes, correct, you are right. And he touched his own head. And immediately it exploded and he died. Without any weapons, Narayana killed him. That's Narayana. Even Tripura Swami, he is called Tripurari because he destroyed the three houses, three palaces, three puras, three cities of the demons created by Mahadanav with the help of Lord Vishnu. So we find Lord Shiva dependent on Vishnu. When after Daksha Yajna was destroyed, then because the Yajna has to be completed, all the demigods approached Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma went to Kailash. And there Lord Shiva was sitting with his associates. And Lord Brahma prayed to him as if he is Vishnu. Lord Brahma is not a fool person. He is a very intelligent person. And he prayed to him as if he is Vishnu. And then Lord Shiva got pacified. They both came to Daksha Yajna. And Vishnu appeared. And they both paid obeisances to Vishnu. Lord Shiva also paid obeisances to Vishnu. Lord Brahma also paid obeisances to Vishnu. And Vishnu told Daksha, you should not differentiate between me and Shiva. Here he is paying obeisances to him, taking help from him, getting defeated from him. And now Vishnu is saying, you should not differentiate between me and Shiva. So, they both are same. Milk and yogurt is same. At the same time, they are not same. You can't call yogurt milk. So these are both true statements. And a material attempt to resolve this will not work. In fact, any system with material logic has its faults. There was a popular mathematician called Gödel, Kurt Gödel. And he gave a very famous theorem. It's called incompleteness theorem. Which says that if you have a system of logic, proper logical system, it will always be incomplete. That means there will always be a statement inside the system which can neither be proved by the system nor can be disproved by the system. Every axiomatic system is incomplete. Like geometry, it's incomplete. Mathematics, arithmetic, it's a Gödel system, it's incomplete. Like this material science is incomplete. God exists. Neither this can be proved in material science nor this can be disproved in material science. This is a statement which cannot be handled. There is no proof that God exists. There is no proof that God does not exist. So this fight will go on always. So many arguments we give to young boys or young people, new people, God exists. Believe me, most of them are wrong. They can be counter-argued. But okay, preaching going on, it helps, so we do. The actual existence is only by revelation, not by speech. Actual understanding of his existence. So Lord Shiva, he is Tattva, Shiva Tattva. Different from Vishnu Tattva. But at the same time, same, equal. Just like if you are outside this temple on that road where there is bus stop and somebody asks you, where is temple? You will point out towards this area. this is temple. Suppose that person comes inside the gate in front of the lobby and now he asks you, where is the temple? You will point out in a different direction now. First temple was in this direction. Now temple is in this direction. How? Because first you were pointing out towards the full campus, which is also called temple. But inside, you will call only this area temple, that area Govinda, Heaven on Earth, Gurukul building, bathroom, Mandapam hall. Outside you will call whole campus as temple. And you will point towards this direction. But inside you will call only this hall as a temple, and other places you will not point. So in one instance, only this point, this area is a temple. In another instance, this whole area is a temple. Which is correct? Both are correct. Right? And if he comes inside the temple hall and he says, where is the temple? You point towards the altar. This is the temple. You will not point this direction. This is the temple. In fact, which we already pointed when he was outside. So here when we come, this is temple. So from here we see Shiva is also Krishna, no problem. But actually when we go to Kailash, we'll point to somebody else. Shiva, Krishna, same. Part. Now we are pointing to the whole. But actually when we go, then we'll point to specific Vishnu. More further we will go, we'll point to Golok Vrindavan, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original. So when you are on the road, you point to the whole campus. When you come inside, you point to this temple room. When you are in the temple room, you don't point these four directions, you point towards altar. In the same way, from here, we point towards Shiva as God, no problem. But when we go more further, we point Vishnu as God. Both are same. There is no difference. Just in crude sense, if somebody just sees my hand, says Gokuleshwar, that's fine. But when he actually sits with me, he's not going to talk to this hand. How are you, Gokuleshwar? Fine? No, he's going to talk on this direction. But when you are far away, you can just see the hand, say Gokuleshwar. How are you? Just seeing the hand, you may say that. But when you're near, you're not going to see the hand. You're going to see towards the face. So the disturbance or confusion arises when we see difference. When we see difference where there is equality. So just a hand is part of the body. So Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, everybody is part of Krishna's energy. There is no difference. Functionally there is a difference. We are part and parcel of Krishna. So we worship Krishna. When we worship Krishna, Shiva, Vishnu, everybody is included. One expansion of Krishna performs an activity, referring to another expansion performing that activity is not wrong. Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that if somebody says, Varadev created the universe, which actually Mahavishnu did, it's not wrong to say like that. One expansion performing a particular activity, we refer it to Krishna, that's fine. We say Krishna protected Krishna protected Prahlad Maharaj. But we read Narsingadev protected Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna didn't protect. But there's nothing wrong in saying Krishna protected Prahlad Maharaj. So referring activity of one expansion to Krishna is not wrong. When Krishna was small boy, Putna came. Baby Krishna, to feed him milk with poison. And we all know Krishna killed Putna, but that's not true. Krishna's body contains all the incarnations, demigods, everything, everybody. So Krishna's body contains Shiva. So Shiva is the one who drank the poison from Putna's breast, because Krishna does not drink poison, we see here. Not tasty, no, Krishna doesn't like. So Shiva in Krishna's body drank Putana's poison. Then Vishnu is Krishna's body, sucked the life air and killed Putana. Then Krishna enjoyed milk. Because Krishna is only enjoyer. He drinks milk. He doesn't drink poison. Prahlad Maharaj offered poison. Shiva will drink. Vishnu will not drink. It's functional. The functions are different, but they are the same person. When something has to be done with material nature, Lord Shiva is manifest. Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, same. But Lord Vishnu does this activity, this function with respect to material nature, coming in contact with gunas in the form of Lord Shiva. So we should accept this contradiction, and that's fine. We see difference, that's why there is confusion. We are part and parcel of Krishna, so we surrender our life to Krishna. Lord Shiva also exhibits himself as the greatest devotee. Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu, he is one of the greatest Vaishnav. So we approach Lord Shiva, he is not an ordinary Vaishnav. Imagine 9:12 o'clock, somebody comes to Brahmachari Ashram, to Chakravarti Prabhu, says, I want to join new Bhakta, and he is a ghost. He will say, no. I mean, I know he is bold, but with respect to the security of the ashram, he will say no. But Lord Shiva accepts bhutas, ghosts, and he accepts them in his new Bhakta department. He accepts them in his IVF department and gives them Bhagavad class. Night 12 o'clock, crematorium ground, he will go and give a class to the ghost. That is his compassion. Are we going to preach to such people? But somebody needs to be preached to such people. So he goes where skulls, snakes, crematorium ash. But still he is auspicious. He is all auspicious. Why? Because any contact with Lord Shiva is auspicious, is beneficial for the living entity. When the Prachetas were performing austerities, Lord Shiva got pleased and he came to them. And he told them, I am very pleased with you. This was not invited, uninvited he came. And he gave them mantras, that I chant this mantras and Vishnu gets pleased, you also chant, Vishnu will get pleased. And the Prachetas offered obeisances to Lord Shiva, took the mantras, chanted, and Vishnu appeared. So he is so powerful. He can give this mantras, he can give us process of bhakti. He has his Rudra Sampradaya. That's Vaishnava Sampradaya, not Shaivite Sampradaya. Worshipping Lord Shiva, worshipping Lord Vishnu. Serving Lord Vishnu, chanting the holy names of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Meditating on Sankarshan, offering prayers to Sankarshan. That's another form of Krishna, expansion of Krishna. So he is worshipable by us. He is to be offered respect. We worship him as a Vaishnav, as a greatest demigod, as non-different person from Krishna, from Vishnu, as per the function. So we accept. We accept these two statements as true. We learn to accept contradictions. That's how we'll understand many parts of Bhagavatam easily. Bhagavatam is not understood by intellectual ability or academic knowledge or research. Bhagavatam is revealed in the heart. When we submissively give oral reception, when we submissively hear, when we chant, when we respectfully read. Just because I know English doesn't mean I will understand Bhagavatam, or I know Sanskrit ABCD doesn't mean I will understand Bhagavatam. When I give my submissiveness, then Bhagavatam is revealed in the heart. This is not researched knowledge, this is revealed knowledge. So we be very submissive, servants of Krishna, servants of Bhagavatam, servants of deity, servants of Vaishnava, servants of Guru. So when we are das, this knowledge is revealed. It's not just by academic reading. It's not by sitting with a dictionary and understanding. That's there, that's our sadhana. But knowledge is not revealed by how we read newspapers or novels, or school books or college books. This knowledge is revealed by seva. So Lord Shiva, another word for him is auspicious. And he is Paramatma. Now here, so nice. He is called Paramatma. Paramatma sitting in our heart, Chaitya Guru. As we discussed, Vishnu, Shiva are not different. So Shirodaksha Vishnu is sitting in our heart. And the conditioned souls, when he comes to the material world, Krishna is so merciful, he doesn't want to leave us alone in the material world. Bachcha akela gum ho jayega. So he comes down, Krishna comes down as Vishnu in our heart, waiting that we turn towards him and go back home, back to Godhead. Since how long he is waiting? Millions of births, millions of years. If somebody is waiting for you millions of years, there is only one reason, that he loves you. Nobody else will wait for you. Even if you give somebody money to wait for me for 1 year in the bus stop, I will come after 1 year. Nobody is going to do that. He is waiting for millions of years without any money, without any commission. What benefit Paramatma is getting? Waiting in every living entity's heart. That's the proof that he loves us. And ISKCON is telling you, please prove that you love him. Do something to show that you love him. So Paramatma is waiting in our heart patiently only for one reason, that we turn towards him. But we don't turn. So he comes out. He comes out as Bhagavatam. He comes out as Bhagavad Gita. He comes out as spiritual master. He comes out as a sadhu. And this guru, sadhu, shastra, spiritual master, devotees and scriptures, they tell us what? Go back to Paramatma, get connected to Paramatma, surrender to Paramatma, surrender to Krishna. Practice devotional service, practice bhakti. So this connection between soul and Ishvara is missing from our side, not from his side. And we need to get connected again. And the process is this bhakti, by which we get purified of all contamination. When all material contamination is removed, we become pure, we get connected to Paramatma. That's where we start Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. Without that connection, it will not be possible. Without that connection, we cannot have equal vision towards all living entities, Pandita Samadarshina. If I can't see Supersoul in my heart, how will I see Supersoul in everybody's heart, including dog, cat, elephant, chandal, brahmana? Oh, everywhere I see Supersoul, but not here. It will not work. So this equal vision, this Pandita Samadarshina, this Uttama Adhikari, this Raganuga Bhakti, this all will not happen unless we get connected to Supersoul. And this Supersoul has come out to tell us to get connected. So we should obey the spiritual master, should obey the scriptures, we should obey the sadhu. Srila Prabhupada is pre-eminent Shiksha Guru, instructing spiritual master for whole ISKCON society. He is also initiating guru for senior Prabhupada disciples who are there. And his books are there. We have to follow. Many pure devotees will come in ISKCON. Many acharyas will come in ISKCON. But founder acharya's instructions will remain same. No pure devotee, no spiritual master, no acharya in ISKCON today or in the future will have an authority to make from 16 rounds or 17 rounds. Or 15 rounds, nobody. Prabhupada has made minimum 16 rounds. Nobody come and say, okay, I think we need to change the strategy, minimum 4 rounds, minimum 15 rounds, minimum 17 rounds, minimum 16.5 rounds. Nobody. That's fixed. So many things are like this fixed. That's founder acharya, there's a difference. So we follow the instructions as it is, without deviation. Perform our duty, perform our sadhana, perform our seva. Then we get connected to Paramatma. We revive our relationship with Krishna. And we perform pure devotional service. So, we are surrendered to Radharas Bihari, Krishna, not Paramatma. We should not see that as a difference. Paramatma, Brahm, Krishna, three absolute truth. They are not three absolute truth. There is only one absolute truth manifested in three categories. Based on the observer, based on our understanding, based on the practitioner. Absolute truth is not three. It's only one. Somebody from village comes. Father, father's mother and father's son. First time to Bombay. And they stay in their relative's house. And all the three tell their host, we have never seen Mumbai train. We want to see Mumbai local train. The host says, late night already. Where we will go now? Tomorrow we'll see. He says, no, tomorrow we are going. We want to see today Mumbai local train. So he says, there's a station nearby, you go and see. So the old lady, she goes down, goes at the station, comes back. He says, I saw a local train. He said, what you saw? I saw light. What she did is she went to the station, local train was coming from far. At night what you see? Only light coming, right? So she came back. He said, I saw a train. It's a big light. Did she see train? Yes. That was her experience. Then the host says, "Arey, no, this is not true. Train is not light. Train is something more." So the father says, I will go. He goes on the platform. And a fast train comes and passes. And he comes back. I saw a train. He said, what you saw? He said, so many dabbas. Host says, "Arey, you didn't see properly." The son says, I will go. He goes and sits inside the train, goes to the next station and comes back. He says, I saw a train. What you saw? I saw a compartment, I saw light, I saw fan, I saw passengers, I saw seat, I saw hangers. So three people of same train have three different experiences. Nobody is wrong. One has seen from far, so they see light. Another has seen little closer, so they see dabba compartments. And one person actually experienced the train. So that's Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Somebody who sees Radha Rasbihari far, he'll say some colors and light. Somebody who sees Absolute Truth from far, he sees light. Somebody who is closer, he sees Paramatma, Sat and Chit. Far means only understanding Sat feature. Little closer means understanding Sat and Chit feature. And actual closer means understanding Sat, Chit, Anand feature. That's person, that's Bhagavan. Sunlight, sun and sun god. Same example. Just modern way. So that's Paramatma, Krishna himself sitting in our heart. Why? To take us back home, back to Godhead. So why don't we listen to him? Why don't we agree to cooperate that yes, I will come back home, back to Godhead. Yes, sir. Let's surrender that yes, I will come. That will please the Lord. Since millions of years he is standing, let us cooperate with him. Let us follow his external manifestation, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And let us agree to practice the process sincerely, honestly, without duplicity, so that I go back home, back to Godhead, this life. So Paramatma is pleased. So that's our job, that's our duty. Every conditioned soul, every intelligent living entity should understand that Paramatma is waiting for me. I should make a change in my life. That I reciprocate with his patience, with his mercy, with his love. He is a well-wisher, upadrishta, anumanthacha. He is an overseer, he is a witness. So I should do that. So that will increase the transformation we are hoping for. By joining ISKCON, by coming to ISKCON, we want a transformation to happen, which is happening. So we should make this transformation more pakka by appreciating, cooperating with the Lord, by following the instructions. And then we'll go back home, back to Godhead. This life possible. It's possible to be successful. So if we practice by the mercy, we can go back to Krishna from where we came. This is not our home. Our home is somewhere else. We are foreign items here. Imported mal. We are not of this place. We are from outside. So let's go back to our home ground. To our home. Not be attached here. Just leave everything and go back to Krishna by following this process. Okay. We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments? Yeah, mic please.
हरे कृष्ण। बहुत बढ़िया क्लास, सुंदर सुंदर चांद के द्वारा समझाया, और हम सभी भक्तों ने इस क्लास को सुना और लगातार हम सुनते आ रहे हैं कि शिव की स्तुति कर रहे देवता लोग किस प्रकार से कर रहे हैं। कल महाराज ने ऐसा बताया कि परमात्मा के रूप में विष्णु की स्थिति हो रही है, परसों देव ने प्रभु ने समझाया था कि वो भी उसकी स्थिति हो रही है, लेकिन हमारे जो 10 नाम अपराध होते हैं उसमें लिखा जाता है कि ब्रह्मा और शिवा को विष्णु के समान समझना बहुत बड़ा अपराध है। जैसे प्रभुपाद जी की असीम कृपा से हम यहाँ बैठे हुए हैं, भागवतम सुन रहे हैं, थोड़ी सी बात हमें समझ में आ रही है। जो क्रिएशन के बारे में आपने समझाया कि ये गॉड है, ये इसी एग्जाम्पल से, या इस मंदिर के एग्जाम्पल जो आपने समझाया उसको हम समझ सकते हैं, लेकिन पराया लोग बाहर में जब हम जाते हैं और बाहर में जो हमारी किताब या 10 अपराध के बारे में डिवोशन याद पढ़ते हैं, वो समझते हैं कि ये तो लिखा है, कैसे लिखा है। एक बार की बात है, ब्रह्मा कुमारी के साथ हमारी मुलाकात हो गई थी, तो उन्होंने कहा कि शिवा ही सब कुछ करता है। जैसे यहाँ पर लिखा है श्लोक में परमात्मा है, वो तो निश्चित रूप सत्य है, परमात्मा है। और उन्होंने हमने बहुत चैलेंज किया, कृष्ण मरी साथ समझा हमारा बहुत चैलेंज किया, अब कैसे मान सकते शिवा की सृष्टि किया, पृथ्वी किया, सब कुछ शिवा ही कर रहा है, शिवा ही परमात्मा है। जो जो लड़की आपने शायद टीवी पे देखा होगा, वो लड़की सब जो प्रचार को उसी से मिल गए हम लोग। तो कहने का तात्पर्य यह है कि ये जो शब्द है ये कैसे हम समझाए लोगों को कि भगवान के बारे में, जो भागवत हम पढ़ते हो तो ठीक है, जो सुनते हो तो ठीक है, लेकिन जो हमारे नाम अपराध में जो लिखे हुए जो दूसरा नाम अपराध है उसके बारे में प्रभु थोड़ा समझा दीजिए। हरे कृष्ण।
तो जैसे अभी सही कहा आपने, शिव जी का इतना स्तुति हो रहा है, सब कुछ शिव जी है, इतना कुछ शिव जी कर रहे हैं, लेकिन लोगों को यही बताना चाहिए कि शिव जी क्या करते हैं, बैठ के वो राम का नाम लेते हैं। शिव जी खुद शिव जी नहीं कर रहे हैं, राम 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 कर रहे हैं। शिव जी खुद भगवान कृष्ण का नाम ले रहे हैं और हमें क्या बोल रहे हैं, पार्वती को क्या कहा कि विष्णु आराधना सर्वेशम, कि विष्णु की आराधना महान है, तो हमें विष्णु की आराधना करना है। शिव जी ने जो आज्ञा दिया है वो करो ना, इसमें कुछ कंफ्यूजन नहीं है। शिव और विष्णु सेम है, लेकिन शिव जी ने आज्ञा क्या दिया कि राम का नाम लो, विष्णु की सेवा करो, विष्णु की पूजा करो, तो हमें वही करना चाहिए। लोगों को बताने के लिए कि जो शिव जी ने बताया हमें करने के लिए, हमें वो करना चाहिए, राम का नाम लेना चाहिए, कृष्ण का नाम लेना चाहिए। तो राम और कृष्ण के नाम से मुक्ति मिलती है, शिव ब्रह्मा के नाम से मुक्ति नहीं मिलती है, उनको वो फंक्शन नहीं दिया गया है, तो उन दोनों को इक्वल समझना गलत है। अगर गवर्नमेंट का कोई अधिकारी हमारे घर पे आता है तो गवर्नमेंट ही आ गई हमारे घर पे, फर्क नहीं है, एक ही है। लेकिन इसके साइन से कुछ काम होगा, सब काम नहीं होगा, जो प्राइम मिनिस्टर के साइन से काम होगा और इसके साइन से नहीं होगा, लेकिन फिर भी ये सरकार का प्रतिनिधि है तो इसको सरकार ही बोलेंगे हम। उसी तरह शिव जी के नाम से कुछ काम होगा, सब काम नहीं होगा, लेकिन हमको सिर्फ कुछ नहीं, बड़ा काम चाहिए ना, वो विष्णु के नाम से होगा। इसका साइन और प्राइम मिनिस्टर का साइन को एक नहीं मानना चाहिए, इसने साइन किया तो ये नहीं बोलना चाहिए कि यही प्राइम मिनिस्टर है। उसी तरह शिव जी मुक्ति नहीं दे सकते, भगवान कृष्ण दे सकते हैं, इसलिए हम भगवान कृष्ण का नाम लेते हैं। फिर हम कृष्ण के अंश हैं, ब्रह्मा शिव के अंश नहीं है। भले ही कोई पिता तुल्य है लेकिन पिता तो नहीं है ना, शिव जी पिता तुल्य, इंद्र पिता तुल्य, ब्रह्मा पिता तुल्य, सब पिता तुल्य, लेकिन पिता तो एक ही है। बेटा किसका है, सरनेम तो उसका लगेगा ना जिसका बेटा है, सबका पड़ोसी का सरनेम कैसे लगाएंगे, भले उसको पिता तुल्य मानते हो, बरोबर। तो शिव जी पिता तुल्य है लेकिन सरनेम तो कृष्ण का लगा है ना, हम उनके दास हैं, हम उनके अंश हैं, इसके लिए हम कृष्ण का नाम लेते हैं। ठीक है, या या
हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण।
प्रभु जी, आफ्टर हियरिंग दिस क्लास आई शुड नॉट आस्क दिस क्वेश्चन, बट स्टिल आई वुड लाइक टू आस्क दिस क्वेश्चन। यू मेंशन इन योर क्लास दैट किलिंग द खुतना, so in that you have mentioned the Shiva portion, since all the incarnations, all the everything will be in Krishna when he comes, so Shiva portion of the Krishna, within the Krishna, has killed the putna,
no, but has drunk the poison.
Yeah, you mentioned about killing also.
Vishnu killed.
Okay, then it
Shiva drank the poison, Vishnu drank the life energy, then Krishna drank milk.
Okay. Okay.
So Shiva, poison business, Vishnu, killing business, Krishna, enjoyment business.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
So you mentioned that Vishnu is touched by mode, then he becomes Shiva. So what is the extent to which the mode touch, and what does it mean when we say that modes are touched, Shiva is in touch with modes?
So when Prakriti is there, Vishnu is there, Sadashiv is there, Rudra is there. Okay, these four tattvas I will talk about. Sadashiv is same as Vishnu tattva. Sadashiv is expanding to Shiv tattva, which is different from Vishnu tattva. And Prakriti is there. So this Prakriti is not to be always handled, given attention. Only when the living entities are needed to be awakened from the slumber so that they can perform their routine activities to fulfill their desire and also perform bhakti or transcendental activities to go back home, back to Godhead or get liberated, Prakriti has to be awakened. So when anything has to be done with Prakriti, Vishnu does it by transforming himself to Lord Shiva. It's like this, the military man in the house will wear pajama kurta, but when he has to do something to give order to the camp soldiers, he will wear a military uniform. And then he will give orders with a cap and with a whatever he requires. In this case, when he is doing this official work, he is expanding, not just wearing a dress. So Vishnu, he has to do anything with material nature, Lord Shiva does it, who is transformation of Vishnu. So if Vishnu is here, Prakriti here, and they come, as soon as they come in contact, Shiva is there, who is transformation of Vishnu instantaneously, and Shiva takes care of all the matters with respect to Prakriti, but Prakriti cannot affect Shiva. So everything, anything to do with Prakriti, Vishnu transforms to Shiva and does it, but that Prakriti doesn't affect. Durga Mata doesn't affect Lord Shiva. Durga Mata is full of material opulence. She gives material opulence to any devotee. But Shiva is sitting under a tree without clothes. He doesn't have a house, he doesn't have a bungalow, he doesn't have laptop, mobile, he doesn't have ornaments, he doesn't have clothes, he is wearing skull ka garland, and he never gave a bangle gift to his wife. He is not involved with Prakriti, he doesn't want all this. He is just performing his duty to take care of Prakriti on behalf of Lord Vishnu, because Vishnu does not directly do it. Like when the doctor operates, he puts a glove. When he is not operating, he removes the glove. As soon as he comes in contact with patient or hospital paraphernalia, he will do it with a glove. Right? Otherwise, he will remove the glove. So as soon as anything to do with Prakriti, Vishnu transforms to Shiva. It's not a glove, it's a transformation. And the beauty of this transformation is, while Shiva is existing, Vishnu is also existing. If I take a paper, square, and I cut a small circle and take it out, and I show, everybody will say this is circle. When I put it inside, nobody will say this is circle, but circle is present there. Right? So Shiva is present in Vishnu. When the circle comes out from the paper, a hole is formed. That's a vacant place. But that doesn't happen. When Shiva comes out of Vishnu, there is no hole formed here. It's full complete Vishnu. And this is circle, this is Shiva. And when he goes inside, it's again complete. There is no addition, there is no subtraction. With me? Right? So as soon as Vishnu, Prakriti, they are far, anything has to be done. This is just geographical, physical proximity, but even glance has to be done. Anything has to be done, Vishnu transforms into Shiva. If Vishnu doesn't transform into Shiva, still Shiva sitting in Vishnu's body will do it. Like as soon as Putana's breast nipple comes on the tongue of Krishna, Shiva will be there who will suck the poison. Shiva may be visible, may not be visible, but he will be there who will suck the poison. So anything done to Prakriti, Shiva will do it. Who is transformation? When I take an object, when I take a paper which is square,
and I transform him into a plane, it's still paper. It's not a different object, it's a transformed object. The old object doesn't exist anymore. Now the new object exists. But in this case, Vishnu has transformed to Shiva and the old object still exists. That's absolute quality. So it's the same object transformed. If I throw the paper, it will fall here. If I throw a plane, it will go till there. Same object transformed, the air dynamics will work differently on this object because of the shape. Right? So this is transformation of the same personality for a particular function. With me? If I have a plane sheet and put water, it will fall. If the same plane sheet I make a cylinder like a glass and put water, it will not fall. The function will be accomplished. So I will call it glass. I will not call it plane sheet because the function is accomplished. But actually it is transformation of plane sheet. Okay?
Like Krishna is, Krishna we call it Satchidananda Vigraha. So it, can we call Shiva also Satchidananda Vigraha? But he just comes in like when anything to do with material world, the Satchidananda Vigraha of Vishnu comes as Shiva. So is Shiva also Satchidananda Vigraha?
Even soul is Satchidananda. Soul is Satchidananda? Or as water fire editor.
So
Shiva Vahe is not Satchidananda.
So like he is not in, he's not in.
So I got a point. So Sadashiva is Satchidananda. Brahma and Shiva, they take a body for performing their creation and destruction principle, and they may take a material body for the purpose of their duty, but Lord Shiva is beyond the three modes. Lord Shiva doesn't come under the three modes. Sometimes he may exhibit Satchidananda body, sometimes he may exhibit material body for the purpose of duty. That's their nectar devotion. But he is beyond the three modes. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah, go ahead. Mic is right.
You mentioned that circle example coming out of the paper and going back. So, we understand that once transformed, this transformation is irreversible. Once Lord Vishnu transforms into Shiva, the back transformation is not there.
No, when the material world has to be destroyed, Lord Shiva destroys it. And at the final stage, he also goes back to Sadashiv. That's not re-transformation, that's merging. So he goes back to Sadashiv. Vishnu becomes Shiva, then Shiva becomes Vishnu is not happening. It's merging, it goes back to Sadashiv. Or Rudra avatars, there are many Rudra avatars. Rudra principle is everywhere. Rudra principle is in the clouds, in the form of thundering, is in the fire, in the form of burning, it's in anger. When a person gets angry, his eyes become red, he clenches his fist, his teeth, his muscles, that also Rudra principle. Rudra principle is everywhere. But when the destruction happens, this principle goes and merges back in Sadashiv.
Like we learned that total 64 qualities are there. Krishna exhibits all and Vishnu exhibits 60. Lord Shiva exhibits 55 and Brahma 50. So, suppose Brahma exhibits 50 qualities. So, is those 50 qualities in full or even in that there is to some extent he is exhibiting that 50 qualities?
No, not in full. Brahma doesn't have 50 qualities all in full. And Brahma can exhibit 55 like Lord Shiva sometimes. So, but not in full. Like Brahma exhibits beauty, but not full beauty. Brahma exhibits strength, but not full strength.
So Jiva is same in quality, but in that exhibiting that qualities also, it is having to some extent something like.
Yeah, Jiva has very minute quantity of that quality. Jiva exhibits at most 50, that too not 100%. Okay. Yeah, Purushottam.
Hare Krishna. Hare. I have two questions.
Yeah.
Is the Mahesh Dham eternal? And the second question is, as we know that the people in mode of ignorance, they worship Lord Shiva. So is that possible that when they raise themselves to the mode of goodness, still they worship Lord Shiva? Is it possible or they go to Vishnu?
So there is two Kailash. One is in the universe, one is in the spiritual world. So one in the spiritual world also gets destroyed. One in the material world also gets destroyed. Everything gets wind up. But that one remains. One in the spiritual world. And yes, those who are in mode of ignorance, they worship Lord Shiva. And it is possible for them to become devotees of Vishnu by the association of Lord Shiva and transfer their surrender to Vishnu at the same time accept Shiva as spiritual master. And it is possible for them to become pure devotee of Vishnu and an associate of Lord Shiva, staying in Shiva planet eternally. Both is possible. So somebody who becomes a pure devotee of Vishnu can stay with Lord Shiva eternally because he is also a Vaishnav. And somebody can go back home, back to Godhead and stay with Krishna or Vishnu or Narayan or any avatar. That also is possible.
Thank you.
Okay? Hare Krishna. Many even present devotees have seen in their life that they were very ardent devotees of Lord Shiva and that has helped them and blessed them, and now they are ardent devotees of Krishna. They have changed their surrender, target of surrender. Many devotees even present you will see. So Lord Shiva blesses them so that they come to Krishna. There was one Chandi Das. He was ardent devotee of Mother Chandi, Durga. But later on he became a very great devotee of Vishnu, Krishna, Radha Krishna. So that's possible. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Actually, few verses back, there is one word, Bandha Mokshaya. So, Lord Shiva is glorified to be giver of liberation also. Like, can you explain that only Lord Vishnu can grant liberation? It's called Mukunda. Like, functionally also now he is acting like giver of liberation.
No, that's prayer to Vishnu. As I told, there is no harm in praying. Even Brahma does it. Even Hiranyakashipu, when he prays to Brahma, he prays him as God. There is no harm in offering a prayer like that. Like I gave example, if the government officer is coming and you may say, "Arey, aapke haath mein to sab kuch hai." He says, "Nahi, nahi, mereko upar bhi dekhna padta hai." "No, no, you can take care." So both is there. He is having limitations, but he is also having power. So when we are offering prayers to Shiva in this way, that he is expressed as an attribute which is actually belongs to Vishnu, it is not wrong, but it is to be understood that this is the attribute of Vishnu.
It's connected to two points. Like when he is saying Bandha Moksha, the character speech is seems that the prayers are offered to Shiva, but Prabhupada clarifies all these prayers are Vishnu. Another thing, if you go to a pure devotee, if you approach a pure devotee, we take shelter, he is not the person who will liberate us, but for
yes.
us, he is the person
yes,
who is acting
yes.
as a liberator.
Yes.
Like we go to Prabhupada is facilitating everything for our liberation, but actually he is doing,
right.
Krishna is doing the liberation.
Yes, you got it, I was about to add this. He gives the process of liberation. Somebody gives you food, and somebody tells you, "Fridge se le lena." He gave you a process of where is the food. Both the things are taken care of. Na? Your hunger is gone. You got liberated from hunger. So who kept in the fridge is the one who liberated you from hunger. But who told you the target, the location of food, he also liberated you from hunger. So pure devotee gives you target, process. Udhar khana rakha hai. Krishna actually keeps the food. So Krishna liberates us. Pure devotee tells us the process. So both are equal. Okay?
Khana hai.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
prasad.
It is said Krishna is the only enjoyer and we are meant to give enjoyment to Krishna. And our enjoyment is in the enjoyment of Krishna. So, for example, if I am enjoying a sweet, this is a gulab jamun or a rasagulla. So, who is enjoying this sweet? I am enjoying or Krishna is enjoying? For example, in the scriptures there is a saksham that when Krishna ate the sak leaf, all the Guru Asamani and all his thousands of disciples were satisfied. So when Krishna is satisfied, so everyone is satisfied. So my satisfaction in eating a sweet is in I am enjoying or Krishna who is giving me enjoyment. In other angle, if a person is smoking outside person, so the enjoyment that he is getting from smoking is in it's from the cigarette he is getting, or it's from where that enjoyment is coming?
Okay. So the happiness you are getting by eating a gulab jamun is not coming from gulab jamun. Right? There's a gulab jamun. As soon as you touch it on your tongue, you feel happy. From where does this happiness come? Is it contained in gulab jamun? Anybody knows the ingredients of gulab jamun? Anybody made gulab jamun here? Who made? Yes. What do you put? Khawa, sugar, maida. You put happiness in that 2 kg? No. So that's proved. Gulab jamun as an object does not contain happiness. So the happiness is experienced, even though it is not present in gulab jamun, is because in the mind there is a list of desire. And one of the desire is to eat gulab jamun. So when the desire is fulfilled, we experience happiness. You know, in the office people go with people sit on the desk with a task list, 1, 2, 3, 4, devotees also do. What happens when you tick one? You feel happy. Tick two, more happy. Tick three, oh, all done. So as soon as you tick, you feel happy. So there's a list of desire. Eat gulab jamun, eat rasmalai, eat rasgulla, eat samosa, eat pizza. There's a list of desire. As soon as you eat gulab jamun, tick. So as soon as you tick, you feel happy. It's illusory happiness. It's only because of tick. Right? It's like football, you know. They make a net on both the sides. They have 22 people and they have one ball. As soon as they kick the ball and goes inside the net, they feel happy. If it goes 1 centimeter outside the net, they feel unhappy. Arey, make a bigger net, you will be more happy. Or give 22 balls to every one person, everybody will be happy. You know, so they have defined happiness. If it goes within this meter, it's happiness. If it goes outside this net, it's unhappiness. They have defined it. Who in the world gets benefit by kicking a ball inside a net? Nobody. There's no benefit. But they have defined it. This could define happiness. If I make a black mark here and I throw a stone, it hit the mark, I'll be happy. If it doesn't hit the mark, I'll not be happy. If I make a bigger mark, I'll get more opportunity of becoming happy. Is there any benefit in doing it? No. There's no benefit. So when our desire is fulfilled, we feel happiness. When your friend gets gulab jamun in front of you and you don't get, you feel unhappy. Because his tick, I didn't tick. So when desire is fulfilled, there is happiness. When desire is unfulfilled, there is no happiness. So this is kalpanik sukh, imaginary happiness. Our mind is experiencing this. Not Krishna, not soul. Soul has nothing to do with gulab jamun. Soul even doesn't know what is the concept of gulab jamun. It's mind. And everybody has a different list of desire. You take a gulab jamun to a pig, he will not be happy. Why? Because in his list there is no gulab jamun. There is transformation of gulab jamun in his list. Right? So what? I give you a toy, you'll not be happy because that's not in your list. But if you tell a child, I give a toy, you'll be very happy because that's in your list. So everybody has a list, desire list. And any object which matches that list, tick, happy. Any object doesn't match the list, dustbin, not happy. You take a pink frock and give to a boy, he'll not be happy.
You take the pink frock and give to a girl, she'll be very happy. You take a bike and give to a young boy, very happy. Take a bike and give to a handicapped person, you say, kya kar raha hai? Wheelchair leke aaya. You take a wheelchair and give to a proper person, he'll get angry on you. Everybody has a list of desires. When it's tick, we feel happiness. But the problem is, when you tick, 10 more become. So in our life, most of the desires are not going to be ticked. That's why it's dukhalaya mashashvata. Most of the time it's unhappiness. Who is experiencing this happiness? Mind. Neither soul nor Krishna. Okay? Now, if you take a gulab jamun and attach your love to it and give to Radha Ras Bihari, then he will enjoy. What he will enjoy? That gulab jamun? No, that attachment. Like email has an attachment. So gulab jamun has an attachment. So every object in this world which is source of distress, which is source of distress, if it gives you happiness, it will give you entanglement, karma bandhan. But that same object, if you attach love and offer to Krishna, Krishna will enjoy it. What Krishna will enjoy is the attachment. And when Krishna enjoys the attachment, that object becomes prasad. And that prasad when you eat, the soul becomes satisfied and grows, enlivens. Got a point? Got this point? So there is no happiness, it's all kalpanic. There is no enjoyment. The real enjoyment is when we come in contact with Krishna. So for that we'll have to come out of bodily platform. Then only we'll experience that. Some little we experience in the beginning Krishna conscious days, that is so that we stay, we maintain ourselves. So those who are staying, they have experience, some experience. Initially it's free, then you have to struggle for it. So we continue struggling. Okay? Any more questions? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.